Proverbs for the day, September the 1st, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 25. But ye have set it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Now this statement is in the middle of a statement that he makes about rejecting his light. He says in verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Now this is a side of God that's important to get hold of. It's important to grasp, picture, believe, accept, etc. We're going to focus on verse 25 for this devotion, where he said, but ye have set it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. When you read this verse, you might think of the thought of the canceling of God's counsel. And we'll think about that for a few minutes today. You know, it seems like it's just a mere statement. And if a mere man made it, that'd be different. But here it's the Lord addressing mankind through the voice of wisdom. And so it's more than a mere statement. Now the world is full of God's counsel and reproof, in some places more so than others. In this age of technology and data and information, it is not difficult to find something that someone has said about the Bible, about the Scriptures. Now, a fellow may have to work at it and do a little sifting out. That's true. But you're not living in the jungles of New Guinea or the inland of China. You're right here in this modern world, probably even listening over the internet. And so you know, and I know, that there's a lot of information available. And a believer must never sympathize with those who cancel out God's counsel. Never. Now, can we have compassion on someone and say, well, they're ignorant and they need some help? Yeah, we can do that. We ought to do that. But we shouldn't be sympathizing with those who set at naught all his counsel and do none of his reproof. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the canceling of God's counsel. God's counsel we'll talk about mainly in three ways. The witness of creation, first of all. Let's think about the fact that God has put out into this world the witness of creation. Of course, one passage of Scripture we would immediately refer to would be Romans chapter 1, and maybe today even you could read Romans 1 and get hold of that context, review it, revisit it. It's very important for Christians to spend a little bit of time in the Word of God. I realize, and it's better for you to do it electronically than not at all, but you could go down to any of these old discount stores like Walmart and the rest of them and pick you up a King James Bible that'll fit in your backpack or in your pocket, and you could flip through those pages and actually feel them and use your hands, let him teach your fingers to war by flipping through your Bible and reading these words. For example, in Romans chapter 1, he makes it plain that the creation is a witness to all the world. It's a witness. And the witness of creation is that it was designed, it was made, whoever made it was divine, was smarter than anybody else that ever has come along, all of them added up together. But what do? They set it at naught. They set it at naught, and they do none of his reproof. Well, how would they set it at naught? They explain it away by evolution, by excess, by education. They even surmise that if God will not smack them upside the head, then he must not be God. Well, if he would smack them upside the head just because they said something, he wouldn't be God. Because they want to manipulate. The witness of creation is set at naught by it being explained away and evolutioned away and accessed away and educated away. They set it at naught. And then they would none of his reproof. So you see, the witness of creation, they cancel God's counsel. Now, they don't cancel it as in make it go away. They don't cancel it as in make it disappear. They make it of none effect. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said that they did by their worldly religious tradition when he preached to the Pharisees. He said that they made the Word of God by none effect. Now, excuse me, what we must understand is that that is what can do great damage to the individual, is the setting at naught, the canceling of God's counsel. So a Christian must be very careful what they hear. They must be very careful what they entertain. It's important for you to guard the little hearts and minds of children. Someone says, well, I came up and this and that and I was okay. That's okay. That's fine. I'm like Brother Wood. He preached a sermon on You've Got More Guts Than I Do. And he was a pretty brave guy. He was basically fearless. And he said, one of the things he said was, if you raise your kids in a state school, you got more guts than I do. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do it. And that doesn't mean you're doing wrong if you do that. That's your business. But I'll tell you this. When they're youngest is when they're the most vulnerable. It's one thing to raise that plant up and let it get roots and then let it stand the storms of life and the test of time. It's another thing to throw it out there and expect it to survive when what it's supposed to be able to do is trust those that are speaking to it. That little life can have the witness of creation explained away and accessed away and educated away and evolutioned away if you're not careful. The canceling of God's counsel. And notice here that this whole thing has to do with words. And words is how we believe. Words is how we understand. Words is how we're taught. Let's notice another thing that we find out here, and that is the work of conscience. The work of conscience. Now, he talks about the work of the law written in their hearts in Romans 1 and 2. Paul said, my conscience bearing me witness. You see, the work of conscience is there because we are to be able to be reproved in verse 25 of Proverbs 1. They would none of my reproof. The stiff-necked, sensual, stubborn. The work of conscience is in the world to convict us, to reprove us, that we might turn the right direction. If you think that life is not about getting reproved, then you're going to miss it, because it is. If you set up a system where you got to get hit with a 2x4 and upside the head every time you need reproof, you have a sore head and eventually probably going to get numb to it. And so the canceling, look, they would none, they said it not my counsel, they would none of my reproof. The work of conscience. There is such a thing today going around that conscience is constantly being eroded at. You need to be real careful what you put before your eyes, your ears, what you tolerate, what kind of music you listen to, what kind of things you buy into, what kind of subtle philosophies that are similar to the Bible but are not Bible, as in there's enough leaven in there to set at naught God's counsel and keep you from turning to His reproof. It's a serious battle because of the canceling of God's counsel. All right, there's the witness of creation, there's the work of conscience, there's the words of those who cry out. You know, those who cry out, who preach, I'm not talking about being nasty and ugly and even offensive and abusive by God's standards. I'm not talking about going out and disrupting places and thinking that if you can make somebody hate you, that means you're right with God. But I will tell you this. They will take the words of those who cry out and they will set them at naught and they will none of their reproof. They defame preachers. They despise preaching. And why do they do that? Because if you accepted God's counsel, if you responded to His reproof, you're going to be completely different than you are right now. You're going to repent and turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as the Savior of your sins. You're going to bow down before Him and follow Him, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess, but yours will do it now, not later. Think about this. Grab two passages of Scripture if you have access to a Bible. Grab Colossians 2 and 1 Timothy 6. Colossians 2 and 1 Timothy 6. We're just about out of time, but Colossians 2. He says in verse 6, as you have, Colossians 2, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, beware, on guard, watch out. Ready? Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, through vain philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. They cancel God's counsel by their philosophy. They use words that are of vain deceit. They're sayings and traditions of mankind as a whole, humanism, and they've got the elements, the rudiments of the world in them. In that same passage, verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward, and of voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, capital H. We must be on guard. We must beware of philosophy. For example, 1 Timothy 6. Now, we could literally read pretty much the whole chapter. It would make sense that of the things that should guide our lives, of the things that are condensed warnings, instruction, you'd find them in what's called the pastoral epistles. Because he's going to give them to those who are going to teach others also. And he goes down through this passage of Scripture and he warns them about all sorts of things. He warns them, if any man teach, verse 3, teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the doctrine which is, and to the doctrine which is according to what? Godliness. He's proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. For godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And he goes on to warn him about all sorts of things. And look at verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science, falsely so called, with some professing of error concerning the faith, grace be with thee, amen. Who's it written to? A preacher. Hey, preacher, you're not supposed to be playing around with it. Your curiosity will kill you, cat. What'd they set it not with? Ready? Philosophy, science, leaven, human sentiment, willpower. Read Colossians 2, please. Read 1 Timothy chapter 6. Two chapters. It won't take you very long. A couple minutes for today. And understand how severe it is when you read Proverbs 1 about the canceling of God's counsel. But this shows us that the witness of creation, the work of conscience, the words of those who cry out, are set at naught and refuse to reprove because they use philosophy and science and leaven and human sentiment, and they buck up man's will.